Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance back together along with Dell here on ESPN 97.5. Lance back from Indianapolis after 5 days of watching guys in their underwear.
4 days of watching. The Thursday was, we have meetings and all kinds of stuff. Pull the curtain back. I thought I was working Thursday, and then the little machine that I have to have, the one that you caught on fire, allegedly, that one. Was it like I was going to the airport? Like, hey, I need to get the Comrex. Yeah,
you can't have
the
that.
The producer has the engineer has both of them. Like, why does he have both of them?
Well, No one knows.
Okay,
so we can stop saying allegedly caught on fire. It blew up. Okay,
is that Dell? Did we ever get a ruling on that?
Miraculously, it's like someone who has some kind of an attack. And then just, bounce it. Or you have a bad accident.
Yeah.
And you just, you jump out of the car and you're fine. Okay? That's what it's like.
Yeah.
That's really what it was like.
Absolutely.
It was, and I thought it was horrific. And I thought, you know what? Better take it easy on the Comrex because I don't want it to be a permanent deal.
No doubt.
Anyway, so here we are. We've got a lot to do this morning. Were you representing, in your thoughts while you were watching guys, did you only pick out white guys for the Texans this draft?
Man, I tried, because I know that if they, well, I wanted white guys who would be as conforming as possible.
Well, you got to be, I don't know.
So I went to Iowa. I was looking at Iowa players. Yeah. Mostly a lot of Big Ten players.
Josie Jewell?
And he's super slow, that helped.
Right.
We
want fast white guys. It's okay. Not like okay.
Well, I also was looking at good Troy luck. Apke, the center. From,
there are slow
I'm sorry,
white.
The
there
safety,
are fast white guys. Though.
The safety,
not enough to fill an entire roster.
Ask the Patriots if you can do it.
They don't fill their entire roster.
Oh,
with white
the
guys.
Entire roster.
Still,
okay,
still
how many
fast.
Guys have
They're
six?
Still not that fast,
six
by the way.
White guys in the backfield.
The Patriots aren't that fast.
Hey, oh no! Did y'all see? You probably didn't see this coverage. The safety, the very first safety who ran from Penn State, Troy Apke, white guy. He's really a white guy. Like, there's no doubts. And
well,
just had a white guy look to him.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Just like there was just
he looked like J.K.
He's not
Scott.
Like maybe my kids when they grow up, like I wonder if their mom
no,
or
right,
dad
right.
is maybe Mexican. Like there's nothing.
Nothing.
It's like oh, I know where his family's corn fed.
Right.
4-3-5. We up on our broadcast like
four.
You know, it's like somebody had startled us out of our sleep. Deion Sanders is on the. So here's what they do on our broadcast. They'll be doing. We'll take their feed, and then when they go to a break, we take over, and then we keep taking them. I don't really know. We don't go back to their feed for a long time. So we're listening to Deion Sanders. Deion's like, hold on a second. Who's that? I didn't see. Oh, man, was that what I think I see? And he just tapped, instead of him saying, man, that is fast. 4-3-5. Mike, did you see this coming? Mike Mack, I did not see this coming. And like, what's just, whoa, man.
Did he back it up?
He wouldn't just say, that's a white. He goes, that right? And he's running, showing so much. He goes, that. Man. I did. And then the kids like walked to him. And we were given at least 4 emails. Very, and clearly it doesn't pertain to us. We're up in the Concord. We're up in the, the end zone concourse. Do not approach the athletes. Do not interview the athletes while they're, while they are still inside of the combine, doing combine stuff. You're not allowed to talk to them. No interviews. Deion just, hey, let me ask you something, big man. And then MJD, who's on our broadcast, goes, how come? What? Deion, I'm sitting over here He's like Deion. I'm supposed to be.
He's Deion.
I know. And MJD is one of the funniest people in the world. And
he looks right now like his head is too big for his body. So he when he buttons up that top button.
Yeah. So he caught a lot of hell for the top button move.
Yeah.
And the other thing was he's vegan now. And he's been vegan. He kept talking about vegan option.
He did look like he lost weight.
He has. He kept talking about vegan option all the time. And Money Smith told us, he goes, and then Bucky Brooks goes, dog, you can't have a plate full of fries if you're a vegan. He goes, why not? That's potatoes. That's a vegan option. No. And then Money Smith goes, Oreo cookies. He goes, vegan option. There's no milk in that. He goes, Doritos. That's a vegan option. But anyway, Deion goes, my man, how do you say your last name? Apke. Apke. Whoo. Man, Rich, Mike. I did not see this coming. Like, just say this white guy
look
ran
at Whitey.
Fast. He didn't say
so
that.
So wait a minute. So and then did he back
another,
it up?
He ran another sub 440.
Really?
And I'm like, well, I don't even know what to do. I think he's just a fast guy.
Well, did he look on tape?
Just okay.
Just really?
Yeah, just okay. He wasn't
that's okay.
Physical.
He's going to get drafted.
Yeah.
He,
oh, no, he no, helped no. himself. He's, oh, he's a lock. His mom was a track star in college.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
and she's white?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I'm just working off of...
What kind of track star?
Yeah.
100 meters.
A javelin?
No, she was a 100. She was a sprinter.
A javelin? Really good Let's come on, Lance.
No, she was not a decathlete.
What year was this?
It was in the 30s.
Wow.
Well, okay. Well. I get that. Okay. Now it makes sense.
Here's Mary Parsons throwing the javelin, and she's quite the lady. She's quite the gal. Goes to Mary Simmons College for Girls.
Like, no, it wasn't. That's not what it was.
So wait a minute. So there's a white guy. Any other white guys for the Texans?
I saw some white guys. You want to tell people
how was
why
Cantrell?
Dylan Cantrell did okay. So first of all, he wasn't a 4.46, but you know what? I'll pull up his workout right now because it was not a complete lie. He had a good workout. Watch this. I think we may have a receiver, Dell.
Yep.
I think we may. Here's okay. Dylan Cantrell's
DeAndre on one side.
And 4.59.
As soon as we can phase DeAndre out. Okay.
He's 6'3", 226. He ran a 4.59.
Nice.
Hit a vertical leap of 38.5.
Okay, nice.
That's high. A broad jump of 10.10, which was better than Calvin Ridley, DJ Chark. Actually, it was better than everybody.
Really? His broad jump was the best?
Holy crap. It was better than every wide receiver other than Traquan Smith. And there's a big difference between a Traquan and a Dylan.
Yes. Oh, a big difference.
Apparently.
One is 90210, Dylan, and the other is not.
And this guy ran a 3-cone at 6.56. Okay, well, I'll take it back.
Any kind of a Quan is
really
pretty
did.
Good, right? A Roquan, a Saquon.
Well, that's what we're talking.
A Traquan.
Why don't you get into why we're doing this? So people don't just think, man, it was super uncomfortable this morning in the first segment.
Well, I was reading a little article by Jerome Solomon, who is quite frequently right here on ESPN 97.5 with the Blitzers. And here's one of the lines in his story about the Houston Texans. There are many who believe if McNair could field a team with all white, all conforming, all pro talent, he would. Now, he did say, with all due respect, though.
No, it's how
he did.
He said it in a manner. He used his own version of it, all due respect. Give his first sentence.
Here's the deal.
It's fair to give his first sentence.
The deal is, he alleges that the two agents have told him that the Texans do not want any kneelers. And if you're someone that is protesting issues on the sideline during the national anthem, that the Texans are not interested
now,
in
okay.
you.
I'm just going to play a little game called try to be fair as possible. Is there a chance that that's accurate?
Yes.
I think there's a chance.
The deal is if you can give me a guy who is not an issue guy, a protester, or a guy who is, I know, you know, Haslam and I guess Stephen in
Stephen
Miami,
Ross.
Stephen Ross.
Yeah,
they are activist somewhat. Paul Allen, I guess, is somewhat. He doesn't mind.
Right.
He's someone who seems to be a guy who cares about public issues. Now, he's like the third richest man in the world, so he can afford to. But if you can't have, if you're an old white guy, I'm pretty sure that you would rather not have these issues on your football
team.
Well,
you just want conform. I think every owner, I shouldn't say every owner, I think most owners in most sports in all of history like conformity. Most people do, because that means conformity means less issues, less problems. That's a pretty standard protocol, is conformity.
Well, let's face it. Right. And let's face it.
For bosses.
All the owners, with the exception of Jimmy Haslam, are old white guys that are rich.
How old is Jimmy Haslam?
Well, Jimmy Haslam is a... I'm not thinking of Jimmy Haslam. I'm thinking... Yeah, Jimmy Haslam...
No.
I'm thinking of...
Shad Khan.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What I'm thinking. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Big difference. So you were talking about Shad Khan.
Okay, yeah. All right. I apologize. So
you were never talking about
Haslam. No, not Jimmy. Okay. I've been thinking of Shad Khan. I apologize. So, for the most part, it's old white guys who don't want any racial issues on their football team, on their field. They you know what? If I would prefer, if I'm an old rich white guy who is trying to sell tickets to as many people as possible, I don't want these issues in my organization. Because it certainly has polarized a fan base. It's polarized an entire nation. I'm on one side or I'm on the other side. If I don't have any of those issues and we're not talking about that kind of stuff, I'm selling tickets to everybody. My product is open to everyone, as opposed to people who can't stand the guys kneeling for the national anthem, or who are pro national anthem, whatever the case may be.
Right.
I don't want that in my organization. I don't think that that's even arguable.
I think some people would argue with that they see a bigger picture.
Well, like I
issue.
Said, Stephen Ross,
yeah.
or I some think, of these guys, they don't mind it.
There are fans. There are a lot of fans who would say, "Hey, I'll go watch it, and I don't mind. It's free speech. I understand what they're doing, or whatever." I think the concern here in this article is two things. Number one, the assertion that the Texans will not look at any free agent players who have kneeled. Robert Klemko, who is does not hide his passion for being able to speak your mind and to protest, and he thinks that is the work. He actually came out saying this is clearly an agent who is trying to plant this against the Texans for
well,
either
he doesn't
current
know
players
that. I
or
think
departed
he's just
players.
Assuming that.
Yeah, no. He's it's just clearly on Twitter. It's yes. Clearly an assumption. Yeah. Like all of us are making right. assumptions. Now, Jerome, I do not doubt that Jerome was told by somebody that that they believe that. I do not doubt that for one single second.
Whether or not
I don't know whether
it's accurate
that's,
is another story.
I think there's a chance that would be accurate, but I don't know that for sure.
Well, again, I don't think it's outrageous that a Bob McNair or any of these owners would feel like
they
don't want any controversy.
They don't want any smoke.
I don't
that's,
want it.
That's very reasonable.
Yes.
Now, here's the part. That I think this is the part that...
Well, because, and the one thing, you say there are people who don't care either way. However, the polls have shown that 50% of your fan base is anti-kneeling.
Yeah, I understand. I just think there are some owners who probably say, you know what, we'll take whatever heat right now. I don't think it's a high percentage based on what we've heard around the league, and Roger Goodell has basically had to step in for the owners and say, hey, we don't want, blah, blah,
and
blah.
And you keep mentioning Stephen Ross. There's a story today that, or maybe it came out yesterday, saying everyone's going to stand. Now, if they want to have a demonstration, it won't be out on the field, but all my players will be standing.
Well, he did say, though, however, during all of the hubbub in the season, that you guys can do whatever you feel is right.
He said that then, but yesterday.
But now he's changing.
Yes, he's
so
saying.
See, even a guy who had told his team it was okay is now on the other side. Okay, it's 7:13 ESPN 97.5. We're just getting it started. There is a lot to bite off on this.
Yeah,
issue.
Because we didn't get to the big part is what Jerome, big part is the part about Jerome saying if the Texans could, they would
form an all-white
team. He was told an all-white. All conforming
well,
team.
He said, now, in fairness, he said there are many who believe.
Well, that's
he
what,
wasn't
I'm sorry,
told that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. That's what he wrote.
Right.
The conforming part, I think, is probably fair. It's probably an accurate statement. The all-white team, I think that's a little unfair to say that. I think it's a conforming team.
And when you started off with, there are many who believe, that's an opinion, that is a rumor, that is. I mean, you could say anything. There are many who believe that.
Well, they say that.
Right.
It's the old they that's say right. thing. Yeah.
But he did before that say, relax, the Houston Texans are not a racist organization, which is more of, with all due respect, that's just an with all due respect thing that gets you. Well, I did say this back here. Don't forget that. I said they're not racist, but they want an all-white team, but they're not racist. Hey, I said it back here.
When we come back, we'll have the 40. You'll get the audio of the 40 time and Deion Sanders' reaction to the 40, to the 40 time. We've
all right.
got that.
Yeah. All right. Right now, though, we're talking about absolute marble and granite. Look, if you're looking for the best way to fix up your home and or your business, and this is something that you got to do, especially your business. I've seen so many businesses that, you know, man, what a – that. Vanity, how old is that thing? That thing's from the 70s. How about pick it up? How about do something with that? Or that countertop that's all cracked up. And, you know, this is a place of business. This is the one of the things that the people see when they come in or when they're checking out or whatever. And you got to, you know, I mean, you can't just go through your business or your home and think, well, I don't have to upgrade ever. You do. You need to. And whatever it is that you need to do with that outdoor, that patio, you need to refurbish it, that outdoor kitchen, that countertop, that vanity. Jeff Aronoff is here for you. Get 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. Call them at 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite. You tell them you heard it right here.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What I'm saying, Fitzpatrick and a guy like Derwin James, they don't need nobody to be successful. They're going to be successful no matter what situation you place them in.
It's Troy Apke.
Oh, man, he can run.
Why are you surprised, Dan?
Oh, you know why I'm surprised. I can't say it on TV, but he can run.
He was a track guy.
Right.
He was a track guy.
Boy, but you're saying it with
he you don't tone. See that much. You're saying it in tone. By. Let's call him what it is. I like that,
he
man.
Just ran 4.35.
Hey, man, let me go hug him.
At 215 pounds.
I'm going to hug him. Hey, man, that was good, man. You can run.
Excuse me, 200 pounds.
I try. How are you, man? Good job.
That's Deion Sanders on the NFL Network call. Hat tip to Alan Reed, who's listening. Thanks a lot, Alan. Appreciate you sending it in. And Deion's funny. You know, having these guys on the – obviously, I'm involved with every day of the Combine – Willie McGinnis does a great job. I think Willie's fantastic.
Yeah.
Willie McGinnis does a great job. They have position guys like Greg Olson's on to talk about tight ends, Sean O'Hara for offensive line. And these guys are good. LT goes out there, talks running backs and stuff. And then.
So he's back?
Michael Irvin will show up occasionally and do wide receiver stuff. But LT was never gone.
Oh,
LT didn't get in trouble.
Okay.
No.
All right. Falk. So let's get back to this. Let's get back to this, Jerome Solomon. I spoke with two NFL agents this week who said word is the Texans aren't interested in any players who participated in pregame kneel downs in protest of police brutality. There's no directive within the organization, but it is considered to be understood that as desperate as the Texans are to bring in talent, the pool of potential signees and draftees will not include anyone who has participated in protests or are likely to. Relax, the Houston Texans are not a racist organization. Passing judgment on another's moral compass is grossly unfair when based on a few incidents. Yet the Texans' owner has been racially tone-deaf often enough that many believe race is a significant factor in how the team runs its business. There are many who believe if McNair could field a team with all white, all conforming, all pro talent, he would. Now, I said with all due respect, okay, it's like saying, with all due respect, you stink. Go take a shower. What I said with all due respect, right, that was an all due respect. Now, relax. The Houston Texans aren't racist, but... A lot of people are saying Bob McNair wants an all-white team. What? If he heard these things from agents, and you got to know the motivation, just like Robert Klumko said, what is the motivation of the agent who told him, or the agents that told him this? Do they have players that don't want to be Texans anymore, or the Texans may have said, we're not interested in your guy, and my guy's black, so there you go. They don't want any. My guy Neil, so they don't want him.
Do you think Jerome has an obligation to not necessarily give up his source, but maybe get into the possible motivation of a source when he's writing an article like this?
I think that you have to say, okay, what kind of dealings? If you're Jerome, you say, what kind of dealings do you have with the Texans? Jerome already knows.
Look, I'll tell you right now, just in case this comes up, I'm not interested in redoing the national anthem. Should they stand? Should they have a really? This is really to me about is this a fair article to say? Basically, you're basically just going all in on the Klansman thing angle. I mean, let's just call it what it is. You're just basically going white separatist on the owner of the Houston Texans, Bob McNair. Whether you write it and say that's your opinion, you're basically putting what you say is the opinion of others is that Bob McNair is a separatist. That's what you're saying. If he could, he would only have white players. You're basically saying the owner is a white separatist.
No, he said there are many who believe.
I know. You are basically saying that people believe Bob McNair is a white separatist, right?
Right.
That's the article that you set out to write.
Well,
I just don't think that. I think people struggle with nuance sometimes. They really do. I believe Bob McNair is extremely conservative and extremely desirous of as much conformity as possible. That I will not disagree with in the least. And a lot of owners are going to be, I don't want issues. I don't want this. I don't want that. We know that. We know that there's famously comments about him, you know, telling his team that, you know, that when Obama was elected, it was like a terrible time for the, like, yeah, right. He's the one of the most tone deaf guys. If all these stories are true,
right. Know
he's
your
one of
audience.
Most tone deaf guys of all time. Right. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Let's be clear. He goes, I know some of you guys are happy.
Yeah.
I know some of you people are happy.
He didn't say you people.
He did say, I know you guys.
Let me
I know some
you.
Of you are happy. We're not. We're devastated. That was what he said. Okay. So he was devastated. But this is now, again.
What the hell?
You know what?
If that happened, what?
Well, he's, what? Again.
I know. That's
again, if there's one thing that he's meeting. Guilty of. And I can understand Bob McNair being devastated by Obama.
A meeting with your players?
But again, yeah. I can understand him being devastated. Him addressing his players about it is can't be dumber.
Did he make it through the 8 years?
The inmates running
okay?
the prison can't be dumber.
Right.
Okay? What he was trying to say was actually what everybody's... You can't let your employees run the business.
Right.
They don't run the business. We do. We own it. So that's what he should have said, what he said couldn't have been dumber. What he said to the players about Obama couldn't have been dumber. Well,
these are starting to stack up. Like, you can't keep having these tone-deaf commentaries.
But that Bob McNair was unhappy about Obama, or that Bob McNair doesn't want his players kneeling, is not something that's outrageous.
Did Bob McNair lose money on the Obama 8 years, do you think? You think he'd,
well,
he was
he's,
a profitable?
He's more profitable with this great president.
Well, we'll see. Do you think the conformity is motivated by simply the bottom line?
John's not a troll. He's somewhere in between a troll and something else. Like, I feel like there's a different category.
You just got to go past John sometimes. Yeah, I mean, you just gotta
there's
just
a different
going.
Category for him. But here's the thing. You can call, you can say that, you know, I think he wants an all-conforming, no-hassle team. I think that is very fair. To say that there are those who believe that, so there are people who believe that Bob McNair is a white separatist. Is in essence what they're saying.
Jamel
if you get
Hill
right
call
down
him?
To it, probably a white separatist. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think when you start saying things like that, you got to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
Because you are in essence. I mean, that is the definition of racist.
You know,
a lot of people use the term racist so loosely now. If you comment on anything that acknowledges race, people have now they've changed the definition of racism to mean anybody who comments on race. White person who comments on anything that has race related. Ooh, that feels racist when you say that name or whatever. It's like, do you understand the definition of racism?
Yeah, I don't.
Is the belief of that a race is superior to another race? That has just been lost.
Says you. I don't like you saying Wakanda, to be honest with you. It makes me uncomfortable. Don't say it.
Because Wakanda is where everybody wants to live but can't.
Well,
right?
They don't. Speaking of people being separatists, Wakanda.
Wakanda. Okay. And, okay. And we don't want to help anybody else. What?
Well,
okay.
We don't want you.
We got all our riches. And, oh, wait a minute. And we don't want you living here with us either.
We don't want you ruining what, we've created.
Wait a minute.
This is just another.
Who's running Wakanda? Donald Trump?
Look, here.
No. T'Challa.
Oh.
This is just, to me, another article that is going to help push Bob McNair out. And I think it was going to happen anyway, but this is just another in a line of articles that you're going to start to see. And I'm not really. I really don't mean to point this at Jerome. I think there is a desire to hasten Bob McNair out the door, and frankly, it probably needs to happen in Texas. Cal needs to take over the team. Yep. It's just he's too toxic now, Bob McNair.
Well, the only issue that I have with the article, if agents did tell him this, and there's no reason to believe that Jerome didn't get told this, the only issue I have is the statement, there are many who believe, because you can say anything. And oh, by the that statement, just, there are many believe who, if Bob McNair could field a team with all white, all conforming, all pro talent,
I would rather he say there are three agents who believe. Be a little more specific.
Yeah, I mean, there are many. That's just a rumor, and that's all it is. Is well, I said there are many. I don't believe it. There are many who believe. Okay, that quite frankly,
it becomes the preponderance of that is now when you make the comment. So now the narrative, this is what's tricky about the way people consume stories. Now the narrative on Pro Football Talk and everything else is, the thought is that Bob McNair would like to do, but even if it's, let's say it's out of 10 people, it's 3 out of 10 and 7 don't believe it. It's the 3 or the 2 that you are alleging believe this is now the narrative for the owner.
Right.
And that's the – I just think calling somebody a white separatist, if you're going to do that, you have to be prepared to say black separatist. You have to be prepared to say Hispanic. You have to be prepared to say that. And none of that's fair. None of that's fair for anybody.
By the same token, there are many who believe if McNair could field a team with all white, all conforming, all pro talent, he would. There are also many who believe that Bob McNair doesn't give a rat's ass what race you are. He wants to win football games. There are many who believe that as well.
So that
kind of statement is so damning, but it's so wide open. You can't refute it because there are probably people who believe that. But is it true? That's the question. Is it true?
Scouting staff, coaching staff, personnel, people, office staff, it's widely integrated.
Yes.
And people will try to, because you're going to bring up the argument about Rick Smith being black. I'm telling you, across league circles,
he wrote
they're
that too.
The scouting, the people who work in the office, the coaching staff, it is –
Well, he refuted the whole Rick Smith is black. I mean, Trump's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development is black, and we all know Trump's a racist. So, I mean, good Lord.
Well,
all of this is really innuendo, and
yeah, I know that Bob McNair wants no nonconformity.
I don't think that is a lock. But to paint him as racist because he wants conformity.
He wants conformity.
And because he wants conformity, to paint him as a racist again.
Well, the players who are non.
Well, I didn't because I just said there are many. Well, you didn't say there are many who believe he loves his African American athletes.
Well, the players who are nonconformists right now, it's about a specific issue in our society. So you understand how. You know, it's going to be more black players and white players, clearly, because of the issue at hand and what they're standing up for. So clearly, we don't want that kind of smoke in our, our stadium where
we don't want black players.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. I mean, look, Bob McNair has put himself in a way in this position because of things that have happened in the past.
Right.
That's why, I mean, to me, Cal's got to take over this team pretty quickly. It's really going to be bad because there's going to be something else.
Yes, you're right. No, that's true. All right, well, let's talk. And I'm surprised he hasn't stepped down already with his health issues.
I am too.
And why not just give it?
I think it's just a matter of time.
Let it go this offseason.
Yeah,
let it go.
Maybe after the draft.
Maybe
you hear it.
All right, 7:32 ESPN 97.5. Let's talk about Rich Drake, and let's talk about what's going on over at Renters Warehouse right now. It doesn't matter. Okay, Rich Drake says it doesn't matter who you are or what race or what color, what creed, what religion. It just doesn't matter. All people are welcome. Everyone is welcome to rent their home or to rent a home at Renter's Warehouse. Renter's Warehouse is ready for you to get out of that house. You don't want to be there. Okay, well, I can't sell it. No, you don't have to. What you got to do is get it to Rich Drake and let Rich Drake manage it and somebody else pay off your mortgage.
Yeah, and I tell you something right now. One of the great things about Renter's Warehouse is they get back to you within 24 hours and will tell you what your house will rent for. Do you know what kind of advantage that is to know exactly how much your house should rent for? And they usually get your house rented out within 17 days. So don't sit on a home trying to sell it for 3, 4, 5 months, a year, and continue to get eaten up by that mortgage payment and wherever else you're living, you know, whatever else other payment you're making. Have Renter's Warehouse rent your property out for one low monthly fee. They take care of the upkeep. They market your property. They find your renters. They warranty your renters for up to a year. Renterswarehouse.com. That's renterswarehouse.com. 713-224-RENT.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. 737 ESPN 97.5. We got a bunch of people that want to get on the air, so let's go. 713-780-3776. Will wants to talk on the subject. What do you say, Will?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Yeah, I had a question along the lines of what y'all were talking about. Nobody can give me this house. I've been wondering for a good long while. Why is it in the first place? Why is it that they play the national anthem at sporting events? Because I don't even get the connection. I mean, it's not a military event. It's not a political event. It's a sporting event. What's that got to do with the national anthem? Why are they even playing in the first place?
They're protesting the way that the American.
He's saying, why is it being played at a sporting event?
Oh, because that's,
you know, why they started.
Custom. It's custom.
Did you know when it started? I saw the Nexus. It started during, I think it was World War II.
Okay,
is when they began playing it. Maybe it was World War I to spike not only the patriotism, but also bolster the American feeling, the sentiment, I can't come up with the word, but that's what it was.
Nationalism. It's pride and
help the people feel, you know, stronger, and prouder. About, you know, not necessarily prouder about the country, but give them a sense of connection and togetherness and whatever it was in the 40s. So that's what it started because of war is when they started doing it. But there's a lot of people who think along the lines that you do, that why do you have it in there? I don't know. I don't know if they'll ever take it out.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, why is it that, are you asking, Will, why is it played? Why is the national anthem?
No, I want to know why it's played when a bunch of millionaires get ready to go to work. Why are they playing the national anthem?
It wasn't always millionaires.
I was listening this morning when you guys came to work. I didn't hear them play the national anthem for you guys. Well, they don't play it for me when I get ready to go to work.
Right.
Yeah, morale of the country. Thanks, Longhorn Scott.
Thank you.
It was done. No, you are right. We don't. Where else is it played? It's not played before the Oscars. It's not played before the ESPYs. It's not going to be. It's not played before anything other than a sporting event.
Yeah, sporting events, I guess it's just tradition.
It's tradition.
Yeah, it's just tradition.
Tradition that was based on something
all
decades
games,
ago.
High school, every game. They play middle school games. They play the national
anthem. So you want to know why they do it? That's why it started. Now it's become just tradition.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we can change that, Will. Maybe just this baby step will change all that. Let's get Eric in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm a veteran. And I I approve the players kneeling. It's their right to do so. And it didn't used to be where players used to come out during the national anthem. They used to stay in the locker room. And so, I don't know why people didn't.
I asked Greg Bingham about that. That's not true. He said he was out there for every national anthem. They've been doing that forever. The colleges didn't, but in the pros,
colleges
they've been out there.
Don't.
Now, they didn't for nationally televised primetime games because it didn't work out timing-wise. But other than that, the National Football League has always been out there for the national anthem.
He's gone.
Yeah. It's not something that's new. And I can understand war veterans how they would feel about this.
Americans are so rattled by World War I that the game almost didn't happen. I'm not sure which game they're talking about. It says, according to the World War I's Centennial Commission, out of respect for the soldiers, baseball officials wanted to cancel the World Series between the Red Sox and the Cubs. When it became known, however, that American soldiers fighting in France were eager to know the series results, the games commenced. On a more local level, Chicagoans were particularly on edge after a bombing at a federal building, yada, yada, yada. Red Sox third baseman and furloughed U.S. Navy sailor Fred Thomas's rendition of the Star Spangled Banner was so moving, the New York Times led its recap of the game not with a rundown of the athlete's performance, but rather an assessment of Thomas's performance. However, when the Times referred to the song as the national anthem, that was not technically the case yet. The song was then just an anthem for the U.S. Army and Navy, but it would prove to have legs. The outpouring of sentiment, enthusiasm, and patriotism at the 1918 World Series went a long way into making the song the national anthem. And the official anthem of the U.S. in 1931, giving the country a national anthem for the first time. During the World War II era, the addition of sound systems allowed the playing of recorded music at ball games. And at the end of the war, after Japan announced it would surrender, NFL Commissioner Elmer Layden called. Now that's how you know you're in World War II era. Elmer Layden.
Well, like my buddy Elmer.
Yeah.
Of Iwaka.
My grandpa was Elmer.
Well, it's tradition to be an Elmer.
He called for all league teams to play the Star Spangled Banner at their games, arguing the national anthem should be as much a part of every game as the kickoff. We must not drop it simply because the war is over. We should never forget what it stands for. So it's kind of rooted, even before World War II, but it's kind of rooted in World War II.
Yeah. All right. 7:42. Let's catch up on break. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We got a few more guys that want to get in here. Listen, my pee-pee doesn't hurt. My pee-pee doesn't hurt because Jerome is calling Bob McNair a racist. He's basically calling him a racist. But what gets me about it is saying there are many who think. You can say that about anything. You can say that to in any. All you have to do is throw. There are many who think out there, and you can say anything about anyone.
And Lamont thinks we're butchering this topic by mentioning the word conformity. Like
that's not our word. It's Jerome's.
And not only is it that, but conformity means you want no issues. Lamont thinks Bob McNair is a racist.
Okay,
I don't know if he's a racist.
He's one of there are many who think.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a racist or not. I do know this. I do know that he wants things to go smooth. He's a guy who doesn't like any bumps in the road, and I'm not here to say he's right or wrong. I'm just telling you I know exactly what he is from that standpoint. Does he believe that his race is superior to all other races and want to create a separatist movement to just have white players? I'm not going that far. That feels like I mean, I'm not going to put that on him. I don't know the man that well. I've never sat down and had a conversation with him long enough to talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to say I know exactly who he is until I've spent enough time with him to know. I just know this. He's got so much heat on him now with everything that's happened over the past and it all coming up, and his health is bad. Like, I can't see him getting through July as the owner. I think that it's going to go to Cal McNair. Yeah, but I do believe that he and pretty much all owners, if they had a chance, and all business heads of business, they do want conforming to the norms of the business so that it is as hassle-free as possible. That's not unusual. That is a real thing.
Let's get John Clay Wolf in here. We got more on the other side. We got more people that want to get in on it as well. 713-780-3776. But John Clay Wolf is here. GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com is a place that you need to go if you want to sell your vehicle. And John Clay Wolf will more than likely give you the best price for that vehicle. John Clay Wolf, what's up?
What are y'all preaching this morning? I'm listening to you. Or is it time to pass the plate?
We have got a very serious issue in front of us here today, okay? John Clay Wolf, it's very, very important. And that's what we do here every day on the show.
Okay. Well, my quick comment, thanks for having me on, gentlemen. Spring has sprung. The tulips are popping in the yard. And the market has gone up like it always does when spring comes on. And this last week was a hitter. Tax money hits the street, and it just drives the used car market into spring. Everybody, guys thinking about next summer, thinking about getting a piece of tail, thinking about a Corvette. You know, all these thoughts start driving people's behaviors, and it's real. And they show up like zombies at the used Corvette store wanting to buy Corvettes because they're planning ahead. They're thinking about the gal at the lake on June 14th and how they're going to nail it. So they're going to invest now. That drives marketplaces up. So what does that mean for you? I will pay $1,500 more for your vet now than I would have a month ago. Pretty much all cars have gone up 10% on this tax. Not all cars. Everything under $10,000 has gone up 10%, under $20,000. There's really a real movement in the spring market, and it makes the cars worth more. So go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. We've recalibrated our computer, and the bid you will get is higher than it was last week. Just because we buy and sell the market. When the market's going down, we offer less. When the market's going up, we offer more, and the market's going up right now.
How about that? So since you waited a week, now you're going to get a better price at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Jerome's getting the kids off to school, so hopefully we'll get him at, he says he might be able to do it at 8:30. Big article. It's picked up nationally. It is it's something that obviously a hot button topic. Bob McNair in the crosshairs after his warden comment. The inmates running the prison. Ever since then, it has been not a gradual downhill for Bob McNair. It's a leap off a cliff. It has been a leap off a cliff. And it's something that, you know, as Lance said, and I think I'm shocked that Bob McNair is still. And here's the deal: is there was supposed to be a statue of Bob McNair. You can't have a statue of Bob McNair.
They're going
to
put up a statue.
There was going to be.
For what?
And well, he brought the NFL back. He's a great American that brought the NFL back.
His arms were going to be crossed.
America's greatest football city.
He's not going to do Wakanda forever.
His arms are crossed. Yes. And said Wakanda forever.
Not onward.
It's like a bobblehead, only it just bounces up and down.
Stop it.
IMAX, will that matter to you, though?
No, I don't care. I don't care if he watches a movie or not.
I'm just checking.
So the thought, we're going to give him a statue because he brought football back?
Yeah. He brought football back to the greatest American football city.
Where are they going to put it? In Huntsville? In the prison?
No, they were going to put it by the Bulls. I think he was going to be a matador outside by the Bulls, outside of Kirby.
I would just thought, considering what he sometimes says, they would just put it in front of the in Huntsville.
Mm, see, that's not
going to be. And he would have his hand pointing towards the prison.
My wife's getting salty on the text she's listening to. She's got some salty comments.
What? Don't be salty, girl. All right, just go to church and ask forgiveness for your saltiness. Ooh, now.
I wouldn't tell her what to do, John.
Yeah, she's like, don't tell me what to do.
No, but has she already been to church this morning?
No, she didn't go to daily mass now. She goes on Fridays.
Oh, she just goes Fridays and Sundays?
Yeah, she goes Fridays.
Well, maybe. Okay.
And you got to, you know, we're in the middle of Lent and whatnot. So
right.
I don't know what's up.
Well, maybe God will forgive her on Friday for her salty comments.
That's how I met her. Well, she was listening to us. She used to argue with me on that. Back then, it was emails about Chris Sims
Longhorns
versus Major Apple. Right. I won. I was team Major.
She was on team
she
Chris.
She was team Chris. Like, you took the biggest L of all time there. Of course, now Chris is on TV doing stuff, but Major's got his own team. So there you go.
Which one of those guys is going to be a coach? Major.
Well, we knew.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. Shaquem Griffin, there was some, there was a little conspiracy theory, and I get it. I understand now that I recognize what the, so here's the deal.
There was a disparity in his runs, right?
Yeah. Well, there was a disparity in his runs. He ran a 4.38 and a 4.58. And somebody captured in stop motion the timing mechanism said 4.38 on his first run before he crossed. Like, it's hard. It's split second. You got to be a split second to see it. So people thought the NFL Network was fudging his numbers to try to push him up. So I reached out to teams to find out what teams had on him to see if, like, this was wrong. Teams had the times I got were 4.34 hand times, 4.34, 4.36, 4.38, 4.39, and 4.40. So no one had, everyone had fast times on Shaquem Griffin. But his second run was just much slower. And trying to figure out, well, why is that the case? And I think it was because he was so amped up for that first run and he had all that adrenaline that I just think he was like, I just think he was spent. He had to wait 38 more runners before he could run because four linebackers sat out their 40s. So he had to wait a long – we had 42. He had to wait a long time to run again. And I just think the emotion where he was so sky high, I just think it kind of sapped him of his energy, and he ran a lot slower. That happened with like four or five players. Josh Jackson was one. The cornerback from Iowa, he ran like a 4.49, which is a good time, and a 4.60, which was exactly what you didn't want to see. And because, and I had questioned, well, what's his speed like? So when I saw 4.49, I'm like, okay, this will lock him in. And then he ran a 4.60, and I'm like, which one? Like, it made me say, well, this is a big concern because if he's normally a 4.56 guy.
Because 0.11? I get it.
No, that's a lot. Yeah. The difference between 4.49 and 4.60. You can see the separation on like a simulcam.
But, that's all you have to do is have a little stumble at the start, though, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that's all it takes. So you got to go back and maybe look at that,
right,
his start, and see why that was the case. But you'd like for him to run again at the pro day.
Absolutely.
And Bucky Brooks said, you know what? I wouldn't run if I were at the pro day.
I got a 4.49.
I'd say, you take my 4.49 is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here. You're going to take my 4.49 or you're not going to draft me.
Right.
And I think they'll probably take his 4.49. Holton Hill from the Longhorns. Too many teams just think he can't stop smoking weed. I had a team tell me he's Josh Gordon all over again. Big, talented, just can't stop smoking weed. And he'll test positive multiple times in the league and he's going to get in trouble. He couldn't stop at Texas. And he won't be able to stop in the league. That's a thought on him. So we'll see. He is a big, talented cornerback. But if you can't stop smoking in time for tests, and here's the dirty little secret to it. People in the league don't care if you smoke.
Right.
Just don't do it when you're going to get caught testing. Just understand how the game is played and don't get caught. And don't let it affect your play.
To me, that's about a dumb. Well, first of all, it's dumb that you can't stop. But secondly, it's dumb that you can't smoke weed. You can drink all you want, but you can't smoke. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just stupid. Of course, I have a vested interest in that, but that's neither here nor there. 7:55, ESPN 97.5. Let's catch
now up. Now everyone's going to want to know what you're talking. What was John talking about?
You know, this
is he a weed guy?
This is.
Does he have his own?
Yeah.
Can I call John for a nickel bag?
This
no, you no, can't.
That's not
don't,
it.
Don't
that's
at
not
John.
The vested interest
don't
I have.
Don't slide into his DMs. For a
this most
bag.
Recent thing that John has may be the most shocking thing I would have ever imagined. If anyone would be like, you know what? John's really into this thing. What?
I just want to make sure.
What did you just say?
What? Jeff Sessions keeps his nose out of my business.
All of a sudden, John has a vested interest in shutting down the Attorney General.
Now John just swings in the spectrum the other way.
Yeah.
I was never anti-weed.
No, you weren't.
I've never been anti-weed.
And a lot of people in the league have not been for a long
it's
time.
It's stupid. It's going to be legal nationally.
If you
this
tell
is just like prohibition.
But if they tell you you can't do it, if they tell you don't.
Yeah, right. Don't do it.
No,
then don't do
no
it.
Sneakers at the club.
Don't do it.
Don't come to the club in sneakers and try to get in.
Right.
They told you that's a rule, so follow rules. You can say think it's the dumbest rule of all time. But if you know it's a rule, don't do it.
No sneakers at the club's racist. Okay? Why can't you?
There's clubs that clearly say, we just don't want sneakers at the club.
Yeah.
And it's an African-American club. What are you trying to say? No, it's black clubs that have that.
Yeah, and leave your fitted at the door.
And pull your pants up.
Well, I don't know about the pants, but I know the fitted get taken. No fitteds and no sneakers.
Yep.
Then you can come in.
There you go. There you have it. All right, Jerome Solomon.
Okay, classy.
Jerome Solomon's going to join us in a half hour. Okay. We'll talk to him about his article here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, whether we're talking about is this Friday, Trailer Wheel and Frame? Yeah, I believe it is. I believe we're going to Trailer Wheel and Frame this Friday. So, but they'll bring potatoes for you because nobody eats meat.
I was there the last time on a Friday, and they will bring a moist outside brisket sandwich if that's what you're into.
Yeah, but, hey, but no one eats meat on Friday because of Catholic.
Well, but you can take them for a Saturday.
Because everybody, you can and did.
I was up here eating on Saturday like a king. Like a king.
Where'd you keep? Oh, you put it in the fridge?
Yeah.
No one stole it? All right, well, watch yourself.
I put Lance on it.
That doesn't really matter. That doesn't matter. My middle name is, my grandfather's middle name is Lance.
No, I had poo sandwiches. I put it on the outside and just like, if y'all want to open it, take a shot.
Poo sandwiches for Lance.
That's it. So here's the deal. It's not only are there Rudy's barbecue sandwiches, there's St. Arnold's there. There's Cat's Coffee there. Kolache Shop is there. There's more than food too. By the way, what we're going to Trailer Wheel and Frame for is for you to get that trailer. If you haven't seen, and if you need a new trailer, and if you haven't seen the Ranch King, which is something that they manufacture at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I swear to God, it is the nicest looking trailer. Now, I'm not a big connoisseur of trailers. I don't know all about trailers. That's not what I'm about. But here's the deal, is I see with my human eyes these Ranch King trailers, and they are awesome. How about the flooring has a 100-year warranty? The frame has a lifetime warranty. This, if you get a 100-year warranty, these floors are unbelievable. They're looking like wood, but they're not. They're composite and they are spectacular. And oh, by the way, everything that you need for your trailer, you got to get inspected. You need wiring. You need lights. You need the hitch, the winch. I mean, everything. You got it all. And you got all the service base to get in and out quickly. So please get to 8222 I-45 North of Canino X. Come see us this Friday. Trailer Wheel and Frame.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.